Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week. I'm your host, A. Trey, and this is On Point. And I want to say to everybody listening, thank you so very much for your support. You've been exceptionally kind. You've been pushing us forward, and that's greatly appreciated. And today we're going to talk about something that's kind of relevant for today's thing, this political race. But first, I want to introduce our co-host for today. And I know you're there. Tytrese, with me? Okay, I see that our line is there with him. I know he's coming on with us. And
I'm here, Trey.
And Okay, Chris, thank you for coming in. I appreciate that. And Sir Felton, glad to have you with us today. How you feeling?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Man, look, this week could not have gone by any quicker. I needed it to go by fast. I was trying to get out of this week as much as I could fast. So I made it to the weekend, and I'm happy. Today, we're going to be in our segment, State of Our Union. And the topic is, does money buy power? And I have the perfect person with me today because we have some things to say. Okay, this week what we're going to do is take a look at the race for the most coveted position in the political arena, the presidential seat. And you know the game, you know the prize, but the question is, do you know the players in this political slugfest, which has turned out to be nothing less than a surprising cutoff at the knees. You're no longer relevant. The public wants more than talk kind of melee of a who's who kind of soup. And our second segment of Behind Closed Doors, it'll be, can I be more than a steak? Damn it. But we'll start off with this one right now. All right. We got Donald Trump. Everybody's familiar with that name. But my thing is aside from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, can anyone actually name any of the other candidates? And it seems like their forerunner for presidential nomination is so far out there that some of the people that were supposed to be up front are kind of getting kicked to the curb, will be cut. They ride on the bench. Cruz. And so many other people are out there just hanging in the wind. Bernie Sanders, you got Ben Carson, Jeb Bush, and it doesn't matter. And the way that it's going right now is kind of confusing. But I think the surprise, though, is the person that's second to Donald Trump is Ben Carson. And nobody actually knows about him, but he popped up on the radar. It was like last year he did this. First, he's a physician by trade. Okay. And he was listed as a reluctant politician. And he gained a lot of his national attention when he spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in 2013. And he was deemed as a person who speaks his mind. So Carson used that opportunity to talk about a range of social and fiscal issues. And he was just standing 20 feet away from the president, Barack Obama. And he spoke bluntly about health care and what he saw as dangers of political correctness. And many interpreted a lot of his remarks to mean that Carson is a conservative. And he became the darling in the conservative media circles all of a sudden. And, But Carson, however, claims not to be affiliated with any political group whatsoever. And that, in a way, kind of makes him even more appealing to a large segment of the population that's looking for a leader from outside of the political realm. And then you ask, so what party is he with? And he says, oh, he's a Republican. Doesn't it seem like double talk? It does to me. And Donald Trump? H.M. Hot mess. But I think that's what the public is looking for. They want a person who just doesn't give a damn. And he seems more rooted in everyday standards, everyday opportunities, everyday functions, you know. Problem is, he has a lot of, dare I say, racist-type attitudes toward what he does, what he says, in my opinion. I look at it and I see that perfect example, Ku Klux Klan's biggest thing they used to say was, let's make America great again. And he adopted that as a part of his slogan. I'm not saying he's cleansed, but I'm just saying. What are your takes, Chris? How do you feel about this whole thing that's going on? I want somebody else to touch base with us today. 347-855-8662. And let us know. Let us hear from you.
In terms of Trump, I think Trump touches a chord with like a lot of people. Some of what he's saying resonates with a lot of people, and I think just so happens that the majority of those people that his rhetoric resonates with happens to be, you know, people that don't look like, you know, me or you, they don't even look like the vast majority of the world's population. But that's what I've noticed.
You mean they look like people that belong to the hair club? I'm sorry.
I'll say the good old boys club.
There you go.
Yeah, the good old boys club.
Well, here's something. Trump has made some pretty decent statements, blah blah blah, because it's when he speaks, when he was speaking at the, I believe it was Ohio. And he went like this. He said, America's tired of all the shadiness. We just want somebody that knows what they're doing, who knows how to make money so we can make America make money more. And I know how to make money. And he says, look at my record. It's impressive. And he says, I would be impressed if I looked at it. And I look at it, so I'm impressed. And he just said a whole bunch of nothing. But then he has the caveat is, and amongst all the nothingness, he goes like this. He says, why can't everybody have a piece of the American pie? And that's exactly what everybody wants. But, you know, to me, it looks like he's that individual who constantly says, yes, we need books, but doesn't know how to read. Because he doesn't answer any questions. A lot of what he says is just rhetoric. He hasn't answered any policy, any foreign policy. I mean, you don't want a man that's going to go inside into China, who's very strict with tradition. And he goes like this, you know, those people with the slant eyes, I like them, I respect them. And you just call them slant eyes. And he goes, I'm for everybody, the Mexicans, the blacks, the Jews, everybody can make money. Well, it's not always all about money. He's not having any type of financial backing. He's coming out of his pocket. We've seen another man that did that, Ross Perot. He didn't make it anywhere. But he's leading in the polls. Hence my question, does money buy power? Because from where I'm sitting, it looks like it does. And you got people that don't really even care starting to buy into this. They don't. They're buying into him. They don't even like him on a normal basis. And Ben Carson, who knows what his agenda is? This man looks over and he says, President Obama has messed up America's financial status worse than any president before him. What? And don't get me wrong. I don't care that he's African-American. Black doesn't make it. You've got to come with some degree of smarts. Wonderful. You decided to run for president. You're a doctor. Great. That's the great American way. It shows that it's available for you, that anybody can run, even a doctor, a librarian, you know. But and he says that he's not with any political type of group or anything to that effect. But still, he's a Republican. Isn't that a group? I'm just curious. I'm just curious. I mean, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. And then how do you put under the bus the one individual who tackles almost every single situation that the previous president decided to ignore? How do you badmouth the person who stopped a war that was costing us billions of dollars, not the, just a year, per week? How do you badmouth the person actually kept his word in regards to I'm going to help you drop our fuel prices, and did for the better part of the year, rolling in up on October, and your gas is still under $3 a gallon. How do you badmouth the person and that held every single bank accountable for the money that the previous president was lending so freely? Got it back. How do you badmouth the person that you want to back you? Help the car industry jump back onto its feet when they all decided to file for bankruptcy. I'm just saying. Any clues? Anybody else have an issue? I do. Hillary Clinton, her biggest thing right now, and that just shows that politics is fickle. And everybody in it. Let me see. The media is more involved with her personal issues about a damn email than they are about her policy. What does she anticipate on doing?
But you know why that is. You know why that is, though.
Why is that?
Well, that's all to keep you or to keep the general public distracted. You know, from the real issues. You keep people distracted with like the mudslinging and the, you know, the name calling and you know, all the petty little stuff, while everything goes on in the background. It's classic smoke and mirrors, man. Like, you know, people have been doing that in politics for the longest.
Here's the question. Do you give a damn about her emails? I don't.
Not really.
I don't. I think if you ask 100 people,
what I do care about, though,
general USA, what's that?
I care about how they came about the information in the email. I would care about that. Like, especially if she's using her own, like, private server, I would care about that. You know, because that in and of itself.
They looked through 3,000 documents. 3,000 documents.
So you're going to look through 3,000 documents.
Anything.
Here's my thing. So you're going to look through 3,000 documents of a person's email to check and make sure that they're not doing something inappropriate. But when some of these bills get passed, some of these bills could have like 3,000 pages. A lot of times they don't even read the pages, like, you know, past the first couple, and they just pass them in the dead of night. Don't you see something wrong with that?
I do. I do see something wrong with that. I think.
But nobody's asking that question. I won't say nobody's asking that question. I'll say that very few people are asking.
It's not being emphasized upon. It's not being emphasized
right.
upon.
Because
then again,
of all
you,
the
you always have to get a single. You have to get a single thing in order for it. You have to have a single thing drawn up. You have to have a single thing that you can call upon. You know, but they don't. And here's something, and I'm gonna let it go after this. They appear to forget who her biggest supporter is, President Bill Clinton. And if I'm correct, he didn't have a bad run in the White House. And as one of her strongest presidential advisors, you got to stop and think that there's a possibility he just might have some good advice for her. I mean, he did leave with the White House deficit in a surplus that the previous president did in a matter of a month. I believe it was 60 days, actually. But he left the White House with a surplus. And again, it all came down to his personal issues. But that's another thing. His little fling, what have you. And that's a personal issue. But my thing was, did he ever let the White House affairs get away from him? The answer would be no, unequivocally, no. And since we're talking about meat, I'm going to switch over to our other segment. Maybe you might have a little piece out there yourself as well. Here's my thing. Everybody and their grandmama has that moment where they say they want to be respected or looked upon for more than just the physicality of what they are. Ladies and gents too, especially the ladies. This was actually for Lady Teresa's piece, but she wanted to ask a question. She couldn't be here with us right now. You ever wonder what's inside of your man's head or your girl's head, and how they actually see you? Well. We're going to ask the same question and find out if we can get an answer. So, and this topic cannot be more than a piece of steak. Damn it. And here it is. I came to this thing. I looked at it. You have a male or a female, and they're involved in a form of a relationship, be it a friendship or a friendship with personal benefits. I think they call them friends with benefits. If it's platonic, but you have date platonic relationships. That means they have significant others, but their significant others don't want to go places, don't want to do things with them. So they have a person they designate to just go do shit with them. Oh, excuse me. Go just do stuff with them on a regular basis. And that's it. Doesn't cross that. But then you have those people that go like, hey, the only reason you're here is just to give me that physical service. You never stop giving it up. And you never stop taking it, and they never stop taking it and never stop giving it to you. So you want to stop and think, are you actually being used as a piece of meat, or are you kind of perpetuating it? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, somebody go like this, well, yeah, the only time she comes by, the only time he comes by is if it's late. Yeah, but do you ever try to come by when you're early? Yeah, are you ever available? No. Okay, so the only time that you guys actually can get together is when it's late? Yeah. And whose fault is that? You know, that seems like a shared responsibility. I'm just saying. Have you ever faced that, C?
Have I ever faked it?
Faced it. Have you ever faced it?
Both.
Ever been in a situation where you said, man, I feel like a piece of meat?
Yeah, a few times. And, you know, there are times when I'm sad to say that I've done, you know, the exact opposite.
Hold on for just a moment. We have somebody joining us. Good morning. Thank you for joining On Point. This is A-Trey. And who am I speaking with, please?
Good morning, Mr. A-Trey. This is Lady Trees. How are you guys doing this morning?
Fine. Glad to have you with us.
Yes. Sorry about the lateness here. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, pretty
good.
Great. We're great. We were actually on this topic. Can I be more than a steak, a piece of steak? Damn it.
And, there we go.
I kind of let it out there that, you know, this is your piece. But my question was, and you know, I know you're not going to like me for this, but is it possible? And this is a joint question. Is it possible that it could just be both parties' fault? I mean, I get it. If you're committing to a relationship, and you're like, okay, yeah, no, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go do this. I don't want to go that. Can we just stay here and do this? Then I can see it. But if you're one of those individuals who is not making time for a situation, are you being used for a piece of meat, or are you just perpetuating something that you both want to do? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that, you know, within relationship, of course, it comes trust and honesty. And it's not fair for one person to be doing so much while the other person is doing rarely anything. I think it takes two to make anything work successfully. To me, a relationship are two imperfect people trying to make a perfect relationship. Of course, there's going to be some rocky times, some trials and tribulations. But When you have your eyes set on someone, I mean, I don't want to just be about sex. Like, get to know me for who I am. I think I'm more than just a piece of meat out here. You know, I think I'm a nice, smart young woman. I mean, you should want to know more about me than what I am in the bed. You know, and recently, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've been approached by guys that only tend to go on just that one thing, and that's, to me, that's a major turnoff to me. Major turnoff,
right.
Especially when a guy wants just that. Like, get to know who I am first. You know, and that'll come eventually. But, I mean, I think that for a good relationship to work, it has to be based off of trust and honesty. I mean, of course, there's going to be some hard times and bad times, but, I mean, if we can work through it as adults and get through it, then that'll be fine. But most women don't want to be looked at as a piece of meat. We're more than that, you know.
I think in today's society, like, we've gotten away from what she's discussing. I think most people want what they want when they want it. So
that's true too.
There's this whole rush to get to the sex. And then people wonder, like, okay, they get to the sex, but then they wonder, okay, why the relationship falls apart, like, after 3 or 4 months. Okay, well, it's because you led with sex. So
yeah.
Yeah, you left.
Is it possible? Is it possible?
You didn't take the time.
But is it possible? Okay, but here's the adult version of that. Is it possible that I led with this. Is it possible that the person there wanted to, they wanted it to be there?
That's what I was alluding to before.
Guys go through the same thing.
That's what I was alluding to early on. It's like I've been on both the receiving end and I'm sad to say the opposite end of that, where, you know, I just want someone for you know, a piece of meat. but what I'm saying is like I recognize that there are people that aren't able to recognize that, and they think that they're doing the right thing. And what I'm saying is that go ahead.
Here's another question, a big question. What if you announce it?
If you announce it, it's out there. It's up to the people, because you're consenting adults. But it doesn't necessarily make it, just because you announce it, that doesn't necessarily make
that's gonna work.
And it doesn't necessarily make what you're doing morally right, just because
you announce
it.
Exactly.
Okay,
but if you put it out there on the table like that and both of you all agree to it, like this is what it is, it's no more than a sexual relationship, it's no more than at the end of the day, you can't get mad at that because this is laid on the table at the beginning and then you both agreed upon it.
Exactly.
You
know what you're getting into.
Yeah, because it's already been laid out there.
Don't get mad. Don't catch feelings. Don't get mad if it doesn't change into something else because you know what you're getting yourself into.
Something
and some
else,
of us
I
get
believe.
Into it thinking that they, I mean, but for one, you can't change a person. That person has to be willing to change on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women get still thinking that, okay, I can change them. Or the same thing for a man, you know, think I can change a woman. That person has to be willing to change, you know, on their own. I can't make you do something that you don't want to do. You got to be willing to do it. And it takes two to make it work. And if you don't want to work, I can't keep struggling with that.
I'm going to tell you, though, changing an individual is more, in my opinion, is more of a female thing. Guys go to a spot. Okay, Lady Therese, you and I, we meet. We're at Vabanais. By the way, that's a very nice place over there on Chandler and 48. Free plug. we go to Vabanais. We all kicking it. La 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 la. This, that, the other. And then one thing goes and leads to another, and you go, huh. You approach me, and I'm like, wonderful. You see me and you say, okay, yeah, this is great. The first thing you see is something that you go, oh my goodness, if he had this kind of shirt on, and he was rocking that kind of those kind of shoes, and he didn't, and he had that kind of necklace on, he'd be great. I think I want him. And a girl, you know, a female, a guy looks at her and he goes like, dang, she's rocking that dress. She got those pumps banging. And I like the way she has her hair. There's nothing to fix. We say, that's what I want right there. And so later on, you know, and she changes up. You know, women constantly change, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that you were when he met you and is exactly what he wants. And if that is enticing to him, then he's always going to want you. If you change away from it, then it's like, that's not what I came to be with. And it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Me, I have to like you. I have to be in light with you. I have to care. I have to, in order for me to even think about the physical side, it's just, I gotta like you. That one night stuff doesn't work. It's scary. That's scary-ish. You know, I'm like, if this is where I'm going to park. I'm going to park here because this is where I like to be and where I trust to be. And in the event that person gives in to that or they share that with me, I'm like, okay, great, wonderful. This is where I want. But it doesn't mean that's the only thing. And the biggest problem is people just aren't honest with themselves. If you're allowing a moment to happen and you give in to it or you perpetuate it or you entice it to happen, don't be pissed off because it doesn't go to another route. That's just me.
I respect that.
That's how I feel about it.
I can barely hear with it.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're not honest with yourself, then you can't really be honest with somebody else either. And then
I agree.
I think my peeve is like people will start out one way, and they'll give the appearance that they're all these things, and then once you get to know them, it's like they were nothing like they presented themselves from
from the very beginning.
First one.
Hey,
yeah, from the first one or two meetings.
Here's something. You know what? We're running up out of our time, and I'm sorry. We're starting to get our conversation on a little stronger. We can revisit this at another time. Feel free to just touch base back with us next weekend. We'd love to have you back at On Point. Right now, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top, and remember every thought is great and warranted. And for every step you take, and for every adventure and every endeavor you take, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point.